The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher at nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice. Every week, we bring on a different nonprofit agency. One of the majors on Long Island is the one that we have right now. It's called CP Nassau, and I'm delighted to welcome the executive director, Bob McGuire, and Pat is the community outreach director. Bob, tell me about the history of CP. How did you get started and a little bit about what it's all about?
Sure. And when you go back, we are about to start celebrating our 70th anniversary in 2018. When you go back 70 years ago, families who had a child with a disability looking out at the world did not see a very friendly place. They did not see a place that was going to welcome their child, nor nurture their child into adulthood, and giving choices and opportunities. So families banding together recognized that as a group they had much more opportunity to influence legislators and to change the world for their families. And they succeeded in finding and developing our organization. They recognized that their children could grow and they could overcome obstacles. And so for 70 years, we have been putting children and adults with disabilities into positions to maximize their opportunities.
We met last week at a retirement party for Charles Houston from QCP, a Queens Center for Progress. And Charlie had been there for 35 years, and he had done so much for this agency. And he, in my eyes, was one of the smartest people that I've ever met in the community. I mean, he could talk, and he's got it. He understands every situation. We worked together on a couple of campaigns when the minimum wage came out and Be Fair to Direct Care. We worked really hard on that together to get the message out because he didn't feel it was getting out enough. And I'm going to miss him because I really respect him. And at his retirement party, I got to meet you. And I thought that was great because I've known your agency. I've known the great things it does. I know how big you are. But I wanted to get you on the radio show.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. We certainly do want to be engaging our community. So we accomplished something that's a very difficult challenge, and that is that there are many people that are so busy in their lives that they forget that there's a need to assist individuals with disabilities as well as organizations that serve those populations. And so this opportunity is a really welcome chance for us. Thank you.
So when we talk about CP and cerebral palsy and, you know, being in the 1950s when I was growing up or was born, I'm not that old, and, you know, but that was major at that point. People were talking about it, telethons nationally and then locally and statewide. How did that get started?
Well, again, the Cerebral Palsy Associations, I think, were amongst the first to organize in a manner in which they were able to put numbers behind their efforts. It is a challenge still today in that there are so many other organizations. Back in the 50s, there were the Cerebral Palsy Associations as well as the AHRCs, but there were very few others that recognized the need to band together to put their resources together so that children and adults had the greatest opportunity to get education, to get job training, to get housing, and get medical services. And those are still challenges today because, frankly, the state of New York has changed its view on the spectrum that I think is required. What I mean by that is one size does not fit all. And unfortunately, sometimes decision makers don't understand that they don't necessarily know exactly how best to put resources together so that the resources match the needs rather than programs that people are forced into. So we are very much of belief that there needs to be a large spectrum so people have true choice of large or small, a lot of services or few services, depending on what their particular needs are.
Well, a lot of these groups were put together, and when we talk about special needs and we talk about developmental disabilities, and some of the agencies that we work with still have the same founders and boards because they put together groups because the schools weren't taking care of them. So is that what you found with CP?
Oh, certainly. We say this all the time. We believe children with disabilities can certainly be mainstreamed in school districts, but we also know that there are children that would be cast aside. They would not be able to be the head of the homecoming. They wouldn't be the homecoming queen. They wouldn't be the king and queen of a prom. They have that opportunity at our Children's Learning Center in our school. We have a ballet group and Boy Scouts and things that they would be not so welcome in the community. And we know that's still true today. So again, we believe one size does not fit all, and there needs to be choice. And one of those choices need to be schools like ours. And schools like ours, the Children's Learning Center at our Roosevelt campus, need to have the funding. And that's one of the biggest challenges today, that the preschool programs in New York State have been underfunded for years. And as a result of that, that puts a tremendous burden on how do we find the resources to compensate our staff properly and to make sure our children and our staff have the state of the art of equipment so that our children can have the same opportunities as a child in the school district.
Well, you know, we want to talk about CP Nassau, and I don't think, honestly, from my end and being in the business as I am, I don't think of you as preschools. I mean, we have a couple of preschools we work with, Variety and ACDS, and I think, and this Little Village. But tell us about yours.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad to have that opportunity, too. So we have about 250 children in our school. And the Children's Learning Center serves early intervention. So we have an EI, we have preschool, and we have school age. We've been occupying our Roosevelt campus since 1952. Again, I mentioned a couple of events like the homecoming parade that Roosevelt High School joins us to celebrate, our prom that we have every year. We have a ballet recital every year. So we want to operate a school similar to any school. We have a art program, a music program, a gym. We have a library. If you walk through our schools, you're going to see a tremendous amount of equipment because our children need equipment. In fact, we have the beginning of a very robust MOVE program. MOVE is Mobility Opportunities Via Education, that has begun to really take hold with us. We are succeeding in having children be out of their wheelchairs and have eye-to-eye contact with their peers, with their schoolmates, through a piece of equipment called UPSI. And there are many other MOVE pieces of equipment that are individualized for our children so that, again, our children can have the same opportunities as a child who does not have a disability.
So they're preschool. So they finish the preschool. Do they stay at Nassau, CP Nassau?
So in terms of numbers, we have about 140 children in our school age. We have about 75 children in our preschool. And the remaining children are in early intervention program. Our preschool program graduates about half of the children back to the school districts every year.
Oh, nice.
So it's a wonderful piece of evidence that our school works. And what I mean by that is that it's good news and bad news for us, frankly, because every year about 30 to 40 children are going back to the school districts, and we need to refill those slots in order to...
And is that difficult?
Well, it's not difficult, but it's a financial challenge because, once again, the state of New York does not recognize that in order to properly provide the resources, they need to fund preschool and school-age programs much better than they have historically.
And the state's not helping us.
The state is not very responsive to that need at all.
It's surprising because Flanagan, when he was here before he got to that job, was a big advocate.
And he still is. It's not to say that we don't have advocates, but frankly, people have to put money in front of their words.
He was on the show with some of the Mike Smith and Janice Friedman and a few other of the principals of and CEOs of the preschools, and talking about how he, if he got to Albany, he would take care of this. And, you know, to not to put anything down on that, but I wish we still had that person there working for us.
Well, again, I know Senator Flanagan is very much in favor of the services that we provide. He understands them. He recognizes them.
But, he's
but to date, we have not been able to accomplish the proper funding for our school.
When did the funding start to decrease? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? I mean,
well,
you
first
count
of all,
on that funding.
For sure. And we certainly have not been funded robustly ever. And the last 5-6 years have been a greater challenge, as preschool programs have received very, very little increase each year. The school age has gotten some. But even that, unfortunately, and I'm not going to get into it because it's way too complicated, but we don't see the funding for 2 years after the year. So we're always behind. As a result of that, the challenge is to hire very competent staff when your compensation isn't as good as it should be. Having said that, I would invite anybody in the audience to call me, and I'd love to give them a tour, because they will be absolutely impressed with the quality of our staff, the attentiveness to our children, and the response between and among the children in each of our classrooms.
Well, I personally want to take a tour, so I'll call you for that.
Fair enough.
But, you know, one of the things that we do find in nonprofits is the people that you do have, they stay. They love their job, and we're always looking at them. And Pat, we'll talk to you in a few minutes, because you're going to have the whole second half of the show. But what we find is the employee recognition dinners and lunches, and seeing the 30 years and the 25 years, and these people don't leave. They don't make a lot of money. They have two or three jobs, which is very depressing. And when you see the minimum wage going up everywhere, how are we going to fill that? You know, this is challenges there. And the Be Fair to Direct Care campaigns have helped. We've gotten the attention, but we still are short.
There's no question that the compensation at every level, from the children's school to the adult programs, from residential to day program to even medical services, are all underfunded. Having said that, you're also correct in saying that we have staff that stay. We just had our annual meeting in June. We had 72 staff that celebrated 10 years or more. 72 staff.
It's incredible.
We have about 900.
They love it. It's, and they don't want to work. This is their passion. This is their love. They don't leave. And we don't want them to leave.
No, we don't. Very candidly, I think it's difficult for the public to understand how meaningful we are, not just to the individual with a disability, but to their families. Their families are able to put their head on the pillow at night, knowing that if they're in our day program or our school, they're being served and received by people who really care about their family member. If they live in our residential program, and we have about 17 residences around Nassau County, if they live there, then they put their head on the pillow every night, knowing that their family member is cared for by tremendously skilled and caring staff in our residential programs.
Wow. It's amazing. How long have you been there, Pat?
I've been at the agency 23 years.
It's been wonderful.
When I first started, I never thought that I'd be there that long, but the time has flown, and I've enjoyed every moment and met so many wonderful people that work there, the families, the students, the participants. It's very rewarding, and I just really enjoy being a part of it.
So, Pam, tell us about your job. What do you do?
I work in the fundraising department. I also work on public relations and promoting our school and the different programs and services that we have. In the fundraising department, we run about 10 events.
That's a lot.
They keep us very busy.
Yes.
We depend on volunteers to run a lot of the events. We hope that companies and organizations in the community will consider sponsorship of these events, because we need sponsorship in order to be successful. We have a golf event coming up in a couple of weeks. In September, we have something called Taste and Toast the Town. It's a food and wine tasting event. Yeah, it's wonderful. Everybody enjoys it. We have about 35 local restaurants, wineries, bakeries that participate. We have about 400 people who attend. It's a wonderful event, so it's a great opportunity for sponsorship for any company that wants to get their name out there. You reach a lot of influential people and also help our agency at the same time.
I think the food event's great. If you've been to QCP's Evening of Fine Food, which they do at Terrace on the Park, that's the best event. People just love to eat.
Yes, yes.
And love to taste.
People definitely enjoy this one. We hold it at the Chateaubriand in Carle Place, and we've been very lucky with the weather. We hold it outside for the most part. There's a beautiful South Beach setting, and people really enjoy it. We have live entertainment. It's wonderful. So we invite everybody to consider that. It's September 13th this year.
I will be there.
And our golf and tennis is August 3rd at North Hills.
Yes.
I don't know how you do that. I mean, it's just so many events so close together. I work with a lot of agencies, and getting them to do two or three was, we don't want to hit the same vendors over and over again. Well, you know, each event that you do should have its own separate list of sponsors. I know that's easier said than done, but you find that the people that support you will support anything you want if they can afford it. But it's almost better to do five and make a lot of money on the five than 10 small ones. But it depends
what they are. We have a lot of supporters that support all of our events.
Yeah.
But I guess we have some that only attend a few. But we welcome everybody to come to each thing. But if you have your special event that you enjoy. One of our biggest events is the Festival of Trees that we have at the Cradle Ovation Museum in Garden City. And that's held over 3 days, Thanksgiving weekend, every year. And over the course of the 3 days, we tend to have 10 to 12,000 people attend. So it's quite amazing.
Wow.
You know, Pat mentioned before volunteers, and I'd be negligent if I didn't emphasize that our organization's backbone of families and volunteers. And many of those volunteers do not have family members that have a disability. They simply want to do good and give back. We actually have celebrate every year those volunteers that provide 100 hours or more to our agency.
Oh, wow.
And across the country, the Cerebral Palsy of Nassau has been the largest organization with the greatest amount of people who have given 100 hours or more. Our Council of Auxiliary, a group of ladies that started, believe it or not, 67 years ago, and one of our volunteers has been part of that for 65 years. So Ruth Green is her name. So we have a significant amount of devoted people who have family members who are disabled or don't, and they support not only our day-to-day operations, but the events that Pat was just referring to.
Are they, when you talk about people that have been here, like the one who's been there 65 years, is she on the board?
No, she's not on the board.
Are there founding members that were part of it that are still there?
I hate to say that our founding families have passed on. On the other hand, we have some of our participants, believe it or not, that have been at our center for 67 years.
Wow.
And are still part of it. One of our staff, Richard Mondello, who works in our accounting department, I saw him having lunch with his wife, Michelle Mondello, who's our librarian, and both of them were children in our school at one time.
Oh, wow.
And now they are employees of ours and have been working for us for a number of years. So we have such great experiences that helps spur on those volunteers and our staff, as Pat mentioned about loving the organization. We like to tease Pat that Pat at different events will say, this was the best event ever. And then a month later, we'll be doing something else, and Pat will say, well, this is the best.
Well, I mean, that's why I've lasted so long.
What do you make the most
money?
It's
incredible. I really do love working there. The people are amazing, and different programs that I've been part of at the school. One is our surfing program that we work with the Scudin Surf School in Long Beach, and our children with disabilities get to surf. And it's mind-blowing. It's just absolutely such an incredible, happy, wonderful experience. And I find pretty much every day there's something great that happens at our agency, so it's a wonderful place to be. And Bob is a fantastic leader, very inspirational to those of us that work there, the families, the participants.
I tell Bob that one of my first jobs was in Roosevelt. I worked at a luncheonette, and I was swinging hamburgers and making eggs in the morning. I don't know if it's still there. Probably not, but it was on Nassau Boulevard. I think that's where it was. Long time ago.
And when then you come for your tour, you'll have to see if it's still there.
I will. And I worked for Joey Mondaro. Mondaro at...
From Scotto Brothers?
Yeah, from Chateaubriand.
Oh, okay. Joe is wonderful to our organization.
I know. He told me.
The whole Scotto Brothers organization is wonderful to us.
I worked for Joe when he was at the Royal Lancer. I was a waiter years ago. So every time he sees me, wow, we know each other like 40 years. He says, I'm not that old. I said, yes, you are. He's a great guy. He talks about CP Nassau all the time, every time I see him.
Yeah. Joe recently became a grandparent, so when you see him next time, you can say hi, Grandpa.
I will.
One thing I was going to mention, you kind of marveled at how we could do so many events with a fairly small staff. It really is in thanks to volunteers and support from people in the community. So to anybody listening,
we're going to have to take a break now.
Super grateful for that.
And we're coming down to the final wire. We have 3 seconds. We'll be back after a break. Thank you, Bob and Pat.
The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher at nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning, this is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. If you or your company would like to be on the show, email me at ron@marketingworkspr.com. We have a website, thenonprofitvoice.com, and also marketingworkspr.com if you want to find out more about Marketing Works, their services, or how we could help your agency if you could be on. I'm here with Bob McGuire, the executive director of CP Nassau, and Patricia Quinn, who is also the communications director, outreach director, and she runs 500 events a year, so I'm only kidding.
Oh my goodness.
At CP Nassau, it seems that way, but you have some staff. You're telling me that you have 8 people in your development department, and that is a lot. Tell me about that.
We have 8 terrific people that work very hard and are committed to the agency and believe in what we do and are very happy to work as hard as they can to carry out these 10 events that we run. And in addition to that, we have estate planning. And it's just a great group of people that works very hard to do all our events.
Well, it's amazing because years ago, most of the agencies hardly did any fundraising events. Everybody had the gala, and they had a golf outing. And then they had a few others besides. But now, because of the funding that we have to get, or the difference that we have to make up between the funding we get from the government, that we have to do more fundraising events. We need this money. Bob, tell me about the agency. Tell me how big it is, where you're located, where your school is.
Sure, that's great. We are in Roosevelt. We've been there since 1952. We're an organization that's, frankly, is about a $50 million budget. We have up to about 900 staff. We serve about 1,500 children and adults, largely from Nassau County. We have a school, as I mentioned earlier, with 250 children, where we provide early intervention, school age, and preschool. We have an adult program that's really very varied, similar to the school. Our job is to identify what the needs are of each individual and then provide those resources so that each individual maximizes their growth opportunities. So we have about 300 adults that come to our Roosevelt campus every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and are served again by a very caring and skilled group of staff. We have a medical component in which we provide primary care to about 500 people, as well as many, many other ancillary medical services from the typical OTPTSD, but also dental and podiatry, cardiology, eye, vision. If I didn't mention dental is an important component because when you think about some of the children and adults we serve, the typical dentist in the community oftentimes does not have the skill to help that dental need to be satisfied. Oftentimes they don't have a medical office or dental office that is accessible. Very many of them will not take Medicaid. So organizations like ours that provide that type of service are an absolute instrumental to the health of our children and our adults. We have about 17 residences in the community. One of those residences is in Bayville. It's 48 beds, meaning 48 individuals live in that home. The importance of that house is that we have 24-hour nursing, and about 20 of the individuals that live in that home require 24-hour nursing to live, to survive. The state of New York and the federal government, in their infinite wisdom, think it's too large. I'm not sure who identifies what's too large or what's too small. Again, we believe in the spectrum and a choice, a real choice, and not having limits to choice. So we're very pleased that our Bayville facility is a thriving home for 48 individuals. We're disappointed in decisions that have been made recently. As an example, we used to have a workshop. And as you may know, the state of New York is planning to close all workshops in New York State by the year 2020. Now, what's the importance of a workshop? Again, some people think that if you have individuals making less than the minimum wage, that's unfair. Well, they also then will say everyone should have a job. Well, I believe everyone should have a job, but I also am a realist. And everyone's not going to have a job. People with or without disabilities, not everyone can get a job. And if you have a job in a workshop, you are earning your paycheck. You are going to your job and working. And you could tell your family and friends, I got to go to work Monday morning. I got to go to bed early tonight. And I'm going to earn a paycheck.
And they're the best
workers.
And that's
been taking away.
They are the best workers.
So there are struggles that we have in educating some of the decision makers on both the local and the state and federal level. But we also have great hope because we know what we've succeeded in doing for the last 69 years, and we know we're doing the right thing. And so we're very encouraged that we'll continue to do that with the support of the community, corporations. You, Ron, having us here, being able to educate the community is an important piece of our capacity to get through the difficult times so that we can maintain the goal that we have, and that's to provide the highest quality services to our children and adults.
Well, one of the things I don't understand that maybe you could help me with is, you know, you told me that 65 years ago, you're going to be 70 years next year, and it was your agency, your individual agency was started by that founding group 70 years ago. So it wasn't all as one group, CP.
Right. So there are 24 affiliates, CP affiliates in New York State. We're, of course, one of them. And we have worked together for the many years. Many of those affiliates are around 70 years old also. And we still continue, the executives and the boards, to work together so we share best practices, so we lobby and advocate for things that we know need to be accomplished in the, on the different governmental levels so that we have the capacity to share resources and therefore maintain our costs, keeping our costs low. So it's a very important group of people that have forged in the last 70 years this atmosphere that we recognize that people with disabilities should have the same access to the community, the same access to opportunities as anyone else does.
How important is New York State CP?
Well, New York State CP leads our lobbying efforts and helps coordinate the affiliates together so that we do get opportunities to sit down face-to-face and share some of the challenges and some of the things we've learned so that other organizations, we all don't have to invent the same wheel. We can borrow wheels from each other, and that's what we've done very successfully.
I get their newsletters and things from them, so I know what's going on from the state, and I'm very impressed with them.
We also belong to ALEA, the Alliance on Long Island Agencies, and so there are, as you know, very many vital organizations on Long Island that are providing the same kind of services we are to the children and adults with disabilities. So through the ALEA and CP State, we have forged a very strong relationship that has now created a new not-for-profit called COPA, C-O-P-A. And that organization is involved with about 80% of the people in New York State that are served through agencies like ours. And the purpose of COPA is to be out there, out front, in advising the government decision makers on the impact on the, of their decisions.
I learn something new every week. Thank you. Tell me about some of your programs. I mean, I'm looking at you. I went through your website last night, and I couldn't believe how many different programs that you have.
Well, you know, following the lead of our founding families, we believe that we should be providing services that match the needs of our individuals. And I'll give you some examples. We have a sports team. Mary C. Hodge is the coach of that sports team. And we are very successful in bocce, believe it or not.
I'm impressed.
Our athletes have traveled the world in competition. Nassau County is one of our funders, frankly. They give us a grant every year.
Nice.
That enables our sports team to prosper. That's a side event. We mentioned before our ballet group with our children. It's an opportunity that was created because a parent who had triplets, one of those children having a disability, was turned away from a ballet school in the Ooh. Community. And she came to us and asked, could we do something? And we did. And that parent spawned an idea that became a program for us. And each year, as I mentioned earlier, we have a recital in which families come and they're able to look at their child with tremendous pride and a tremendous sense of accomplishment. And that's something that we're able to support. In our adult programs, we also have a music program. And our creation group has sung in many places, including with Lou Paniculli and the Nassau Pops at the Symphony Orchestra at the Tiller Center for, I think, Pat, 13 years?
13 years, yes.
13 years. So our group creation has written their own songs in many cases. They, of course, steal songs from some of our popular artists. Mm-hmm. And
Permission, of course.
With permission. And through the efforts of one of our families, the Razonic family, they helped create a recording studio that we have on our property. So our singers are able to have the same benefits of anyone going into a professional recording studio and recording their music. We have a large computer program, the Herb Alloy Room. And Herb was one of our founding families, founding fathers. His daughter has served in our organization. He was into computers before I knew how to spell computer. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we have we have one room that has a real state-of-the-art computer. And once again,
is this all in the main area?
It's all on our Roosevelt campus.
We're on
14 acres in Roosevelt. We have a pool in the backyard. So that room, again, allows individuals to use the type of technology that they're best able to use. And we adapt equipment so those with physical challenges can access those computers as well as you or I could.
Well, yesterday I was telling you that Long Island Cares had Tom Suozzi at their location talking about everything that was happening in Washington and the healthcare bill. And, of course, Paul Pachter, who's their CEO at Long Island Cares, as well as everyone else on Long Island, is very much interested in this healthcare bill and hoping, obviously, that it goes down because they doesn't seem to be getting to them how important it is to us and what the devastation could be with these type of bills. I mean, we have so much riding on it. He kind of gave us a little bit of a feeling that those kind of bills aren't going through. They'll never work. Because, you know, when we talk about Meals on Wheels, which they made fun of in some way and didn't act like they knew what it was, and most of the programs that you and I do here with special needs is going to be cut based on this, just so I'm not going to be political, just so that the high-end people get tax cuts. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. But, you know, look how we'll all suffer if this goes through. And he said, don't worry, it's an act right now. And we said, well, let's hope so, but it's still scary at our end.
Well, I'm going to leave that on the side for a moment and just remember what Martin Luther King wrote from his jail in Birmingham, and I'll paraphrase, that we know when the evil people get to meet their maker, they'll have a lot to repent for. Well, what will all the silent people say? No, I think what we need to have happen is that people need to pay attention to the decisions that are being made at every level of government and be a participant in those decision-making initiatives and not sit on the sidelines waiting for somebody else to make that decision that oftentimes have unintended consequences.
And that's what he said. He said he has never seen such political people getting so involved now that never used to get involved. They never used to care. They'd say, oh, that's being taken care of. I'm not going to worry about it. Now they're, you know, they're having the workshops and they're hoping that people go to the workshops just to show their anger and what the repercussions could be.
So if you ask me my personal hope is that the media begins to cover good things as equally as they do the bad things and begin to give good people a voice rather than the hysterical people the voice that skews the news oftentimes.
Thanks for your opinion.
Thank you.
One thing I just wanted to get back to in talking about the Thunderbolts, our sports team, and Creation, our music group. Anybody listening can contact us and give us a call at 516-378-2000 and invite these groups to come speak to your organization or your school. Creation goes out to many schools, and we hear the students just absolutely love it. They get standing ovations. The group gets a chance to talk about disability awareness, but at the same time sing and entertain the kids, and it's a great combination. They also go to nursing homes and different community groups as well. And the Thunderbolts, I think anybody would love to see a demonstration of their bocce. It's like incredible. You learn a lot. It's very inspiring. And to meet these athletes is a very cool thing. So call us and we'll arrange a visit.
Do they go to other agencies? And, you know, because I think that's wonderful to go to the preschools and go around and showcase this.
Oh, they go to all ages, elementary schools, high schools, nursing homes, and just everywhere they go, people love them. And it's just terrific to meet them. They're an amazing group.
And recently our sports team went over to Abilities in Albertson, John Kemp is the CEO, and put on a demonstration of bocce, and they're thinking of creating a bocce team themselves.
Really? I'm intrigued by bocce. I mean, I haven't seen it since Cunningham Park in Queens when I was like 10 years old, and I used to see these bocce balls, and I haven't seen it since out here. Maybe it's in Eisenhower, isn't it?
I really don't know.
I think the traditional bocce is at Eisenhower, but ours is very different, using a lot of adapted equipment. So it's really interesting for people to be able to see.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too.
If people check out our Facebook page right now, it's CP Nassau on Facebook. You'll see a lot of updates of our athletes that are away at a competition right now that over the past couple of days, I keep seeing Charlie won a medal, Howie won a medal, Brian won a medal. It's very impressive. They're doing really, really well.
And it's important to think of them as athletes because that's what they are.
Oh, yeah.
They practice
absolutely
every Tuesday afternoon into the evening. They practice every Saturday. They practice 11 months a year. They are devoted athletes.
They love it.
And you would not be able to compete with them and win without a heck of a lot of practice.
What's your favorite event that you do out of all 10?
My favorite event?
Be careful, Pat.
Once again, I actually enjoy them all. But
that's safe.
One of my favorites is the Sugar Plum Ball, which is a dinner dance for little girls and their father and their grandfather. That's happening this year on Sunday, December 10th. At the Crest Hollow Country Club. It's a terrific one. But another one I love is Trivia Challenge, where we invite students from all over Nassau County. So once again, today, if anybody's listening, we'd love to have you be part of it. It's kind of like a Jeopardy type thing, where we prepare tests, we send them out to all the schools that are participating, and then the winners, the people who get the best grades on the test, are invited to finals at our center each February, and it's just wonderful. We have kids competing from grade 3 up to high school, and all these kids get sponsors among their families and friends, and we raise a very significant amount of money, but there's also great awareness of our agency. More people get to learn about us, the children, the parents, and we get a lot of great feedback. And I think a lot of the students end up thinking about careers in our field as a result of that event. So I happen to like that one very much. I like them all. I really do.
You know, Pat just mentioned the Sugar Plum Bowl. Sugar Plum Bowl we didn't have last year because we simply were not making money on it. And we're delighted that James Herman of James Herman Associates this year has volunteered to be the key sponsor. And once again, those are the people we need in the community to assist us, to be all we can to assist children and adults. But we need sponsorships. And we're delighted that James Herman has stepped up to be the sponsor of the Sugar Plum Bowl.
Thank you, James Herman.
Thank you.
Yes.
We need that. And every event should have a sponsor and a good honoree that can bring in the money for that event. That's
absolutely
what we talk about. How can people reach you? Give me your phone number, your website, and just...
Our website is www.cpnasa.org. Our phone number is 516-378-2000. My extension is 355. If anyone wants to call directly, I'd be happy to help them and direct them to whatever area they need assistance in. We also have our Facebook page, as I mentioned, CPNASA on Facebook. You can learn about all our events on the website. We have videos on the website. I think earlier Bob mentioned the story about the family that inspired our ballet program. There's a video about that that's just so moving. I've seen it about 200 times, but I actually still cry when I see it. It's quite incredible. So I encourage people to look at our website and see that video. And there's information about all our programs and services, our events. It's very informative, so I invite you to go there. And I invite everybody to come for a tour, as Bob mentioned earlier.
Well, I'm calling for that tour because you guys sound terrific. I've been at the Biscardi Center, and you're probably just as big, right? I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. I love their UPS Center. You know, that's great.
Anyone that comes to CP Nassau is very impressed.
I'm sure.
And loves it and gets involved.
Bob, one of the things that they are impressed about is the skill and the atmosphere, the skill of our staff, and the atmosphere that's created by our staff and our children and our adults.
Bob and Pat, I want to thank you so much for being on. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The show is a nonprofit voice.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.